It's good to be here, and really, thank you for your welcome. I can see some faces in front of me, which is good. Remember, Celebrity Squares? That's what it looks like. Amazing. Hello, everyone. So really good to see you. A couple of things. First of all, we bring greetings from Lee Road Baptist Church, which is where we are now in Leon C. They'd want me to say hello, and I'll send your greetings back to them. Secondly, because we're serving there, they've got two carol services later in the day, so we'll stay around for a bit, but I'm hosting both, so we're going to have to do a bit of a runner. So apologies for that. The other thing I wanted to say was at the beginning of Hope Ministry, somewhere around 20 years now, half of which roughly was here. But in the early part of my ministry, there was a 14-year-old girl. I was running youth work at Billericay, and she came up to me and said, "I've become a Christian." I said, "That's really good news." I said, "Was it all the talks I've been doing at the youth club?" She said, "No, nothing like that." I said, "Oh, right, okay, thanks. And was it the worship CD I lent you?" She goes, "No, nothing like that." I said, "What was it then?" She said, "This old man came to my school from the Gideons, and he gave me a New Testament, and I read John's Gospel, and it just came alive to me, and it spoke to me." So I just want to encourage you in that. That was John Saxton, by the way, who gave her that diary. And we baptized her, and as far as I know, she's still walking with God. So be encouraged. The fourth thing that I learned in my time here, you have to have a lot of faith in this church to tell Andy Blundell he can do anything he wants. So be really careful when you say that sort of thing to him. I'm sure it's going to be good, really good. I remember your favourite, "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel." And I also remember, Jane, if you say in this church, "I'm quite interested in that," someone like Nigel will recruit you and get you involved in what they're doing. So you have to be really careful of these things, but it's really good to be here. I'm hoping, who's doing the slides? Are you doing the slides again? Hopefully I haven't got to do it manually because I'm pretty useless. There you go. God's Advent people, being people of joy in sometimes a dark world. So I'm going to read from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. And now I remember why I asked Andrew to read this, because I forgot my glasses, so bear with me. "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Christianus was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord.'" And, you know, I've got a picture of a lighthouse or a beacon, whatever you want to call it up there. And I've got beacons of joy in a dark world. And I like lights. I mean, we've got lights on Christmas trees, which is good. They're shining, which is brilliant. A lighthouse lights up and guides people. It can also warn people of danger. And I love this time of Christmas. We've moved, but they've let me stay on the Billericay discussion page, which is lots of fun and amusement for those of you that go on there. And the latest scandal that's got on, I've called it Lightgate, and I don't know if you've picked up on it, but there's only a few Christmas tree lights in the high street in Billericay. And so there's all this moaning going on because people like the lights. And apparently what's happened is you can't believe this, I'm not making this up, each lamppost is maintained by all sorts of different people, so they can't just get permission to hang the lights. And then they discovered they're not strong enough. They can't hold the lights. But apparently next year they're going to get new lampposts. That should get fixed. But everyone wants to look down a high street and see lights, especially at Christmas time. So Lightgate is going on at Billericay. But lights at Christmas, decorations, we love to put them up. We love to light candles. We love to put them on the trees. Lights shining, they draw attention, don't they? As soon as I walked in, I saw the tree because the lights were on. And out of all the I am sayings of Jesus, all of the ones you can think of, there's only one where we're described as the same as him. He is the light of the world. And he says in Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. People are looking for Christians to shine in sometimes a dark world. He says, let your light shine before men so they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And this morning, I guess the question is, you know, are you lit up? Or have you not plugged in yet? You know, because we're supposed to be shining like stars. So, every church I go to get these in all sorts of different orders. So I don't know what you've had. I think we had hope and love, and they're doing joy today, and you're doing joy today. So I've got this theme of joy. This morning, joy. And in this time of, as we prepare Advent for Christmas, you get caught up in the periphery. I can as well. Presents, food, visits, angst, stress. Joy might be the last thing you're thinking of as you approach Christmas Day. But if you get back to the true message of Christmas, then it is one of joy. It is one of joy, which is more than just happiness, which can be fleeting. It's more than just emotions that go up and down. It's a centered, Christ-like joy. Knowing the truth of Jesus, every Christian can have that inner joy, even in the darkest times, that doesn't depend on the external things. An inner joy that comes from knowing Jesus, which we're told in this passage is the Christ, the one, the anointed one. The Christ, Jesus, the living hope. We sang it, didn't we? So if we get back to the heart of Christmas, in Luke 1, Mary's told she's highly favoured and the Lord is with you. That's a great promise for Mary, but it's also a promise for me and you as well, because Jesus said, surely I'm with you to the very end of the age. Never will I leave you or forsake you. So that promise then for Mary, which was so profound, is for us. That's the first reason to have joy this Christmas. She'll give birth to a son, and she's to call him Jesus. And why she could call him Jesus? Because Jesus means the Lord saves. I don't have to pay for my wrongdoings, which is good news. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him his throne. He will reign, and his kingdom shall never end. That's another good reason for joy. Mary, along with Joseph, travels to Bethlehem because there's a census, and Mary gives birth. And then, slide 2, if we've got it, and then in Luke 2, verses 10 and 11, Luke describes an angel telling the shepherds, and you and me this morning, what Christmas should be like, what Christmas should be all about. He says, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. That will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This is the one. This is the one that all the prophets foretold. And we sung it. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken. I'm forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his home. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ is my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. He's broken every chain. There's salvation in his name because Jesus Christ is our living hope. That's joy. There was a young boy who went to spend a week with his granddad on the farm. He was walking around. He noticed the chickens. They were scratching and playing around. The little boy said to his granddad, they ain't got it. Must have been from Essex. Ain't. Next he saw a sheep in the field playing and kicking up its heels, to which he replied, he ain't got it. And after looking at all of the animals on his granddad's farm and seeing that none of them had it, this boy finally found the old donkey in the barn. When he saw the donkey's long frowning face and the way that the donkey just stood there, he yelled for his granddad to come quick. He said, I found it, I found it, the boy kept yelling. And when his granddad asked him what he found, he said, I found an animal that has the same kind of religion that you've got. So we don't want that religion like the donkey, where we're walking around with sad faces, long sad faces all the time. Of course there's times of sadness, we all know them. But you can still have that inner joy, that inner peace. You can come with a smile on your face, because whatever happens, God is with you. God is with you. Oh come, Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? I'm going to ask you, John. God with us. You know, that's the reason for joy. We've had a tricky few years, and I bet some of you have as well. It's not gone all the way that we've expected. But in that darkness, in those low moments, and in the pain, you can still have that inner joy from knowing Christ as our Lord and Savior. You feel it even more so, I think, in the middle of the storms. It means you can worship God whatever the circumstances. And we need to remember, don't we, that Jesus was a person of joy. He created smiles, he created laughter, he created joy. We're allowed to laugh. Now, I would test John on the Shorter Westminster Catechism, but you'll probably get it. So I think it goes, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. We can smile. We can have joy. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So why the long face? Don't be like the donkey. I went on the internet, and you've proved a point, we'll come to it, to find things that are never said in a church building, things that you'll never hear in a church. The first one, wait, it's my turn to sit in the front row. And this is a case in point. Honestly, Baptist churches fill up from the back, have you noticed that? It was so good, I never noticed your sermon went 25 minutes over. Personally, I find witnessing much more enjoyable than golf. I love it when we all sing worship songs I've never heard of before. And since we're all here, let's start the service early. We don't only hear laughter. You know, some fun stuff there. It can always be seen in some notices as well. And I've got some examples of what I've called bulletin bloopers that can bring a smile to our faces if we think about joy. Put these in the notices. Don't let worry kill you. Let the church help. This being Easter Sunday, we'll ask Mrs. Lewis to come forward and lay an egg on the altar. At the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, what is hell? Come early and listen to our choir practice. Sure, that's not the case here. Ladies, don't forget the jumble sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Don't forget to bring your husbands. That's a bit harsh. Church member remains in the hospital and needs blood donors for more transfusions. She's also having trouble sleeping and requests tapes of Ian's sermons. A country preacher decided to skip services one Sunday, headed to the hills. He's having a Sunday off. He thinks that's all right. He thinks God's going to be okay with it. And as he's going along, he's rounding the corner on the trail, and he comes across a bear, and his life's in danger. And as he runs, his rifle goes tumbling down the mountainside. And before he knew it, his rifle went one way and he went the other and landed on a rock and breaking both legs. Things are not looking good. That's the good news. The bad news was the bear was charging at him from a distance and he couldn't move. Oh, Lord, the preacher prayed. I'm so sorry for skipping services today to come out here and hunt. Please forgive me and grant me just one wish. Please make a Christian out of that bear that's coming for me. That very instant, the bear skidded to a halt, fell to its knees, clasped its paws together, and began to pray aloud right at the preacher's feet. Dear God, for what I'm about to receive, make me truly thankful. It's good to laugh. We can laugh in church. It's good to laugh. You know, they say a child laughs 400 times a day on average, while an adult laughs only 15 times each day. So they say, I don't know who they are, but that's apparently a survey that's been taken. Jesus actually tells us, doesn't he, to look at the children and have faith like them. Why have we lost the attitude sometimes of laughter and fun? Man's chief end, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Some 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to earth and brought with him a wonderful change to our lives and the world. He brought hope to a lost and hopeless world. He brought peace, which goes deeper than any the world could give. And he brought joy. And if you read any emotions expressed by Jesus and think about what they are, the ones that immediately come to mind, sometimes you can think of anger and sorrow, but to so many people, at so many times, the result of encountering Jesus was joy. Joy was there when the leper returned to thank Jesus. Joy was there when the woman caught in the act of adultery was forgiven and released from her sin. Joy was there when the deaf heard, the blind saw, and the lame walked. Joy was there when the little children flocked to Jesus. Joy was there when the boy gave Jesus his lunch so that he could work a miracle and feed the thousands. Joy was there when dawn broke and the women knew that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Everywhere Jesus went, there was joy. And we can express the joy of Jesus into the world that really needs to see it and hear it, especially at the moment, in smiles and laughter. But also an inner joy, even in the trials and tribulations. We can experience his joy through worship, praise, prayer, song, witnessing, helping others, fellowship, and discipleship. Joy to the world, I'm sure you're going to sing. Because I think this is one of your favourites, Peter, from memory. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Right? Joy to the world, the Lord has come. It's not like the archangel burst on the shepherds and said, "Fear not, for today I bring you good news of great stress, which shall be to all people." Yet somehow that's the way it works. We've lost the joy and we get the stress because we've lost the message. When I'm stressed, we bring our stress to all the people around us, husband, wives, children, family, maybe the pet, friends, co-workers. Instead, the good news was, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." We're so stressed about trying to live right, eat right, think right, act right, speak right, parent right, exercise right, look right, that we forget the joy that's set before us. And Jesus comes to this world as a baby in a manger. Jesus brought hope to the hopeless. The Prince of Peace brought peace to our hearts amid the turmoil of the world. And you've got to look at the world as it turns its back on God. It's not doing great. And we've got this message. We're lights shining. Let your light shine. Because we have this hope. We have this peace. We have great joy. And we can rejoice because God has sent his Son into the world for you and for me. And as we, again, in this time of Advent and then coming Christmas Day, let this season for you be a time of joy. No matter how broke or rich you are or how busy you are, this is the thing to remember. I love this. Don't let the secular rob you of the sacred. Don't let the secular rob you of the sacred. This is a sacred time in the church calendar to remember that God himself entered this world. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. There's a reason to have joy. Don't let the secular rob you of the sacred. And joy can be like love. It's not merely an emotion, but it's a decision. I will choose to look for the blessing. I will choose to look for the positive. I will choose to think the best. I will choose to make a difference. I refuse negativity. I refuse hopelessness. I refuse the enemy and I refuse his lies. And I choose Jesus Christ, my living hope, who brings joy to the world. He is Emmanuel, God with us. I'll choose to live for him, in him, and him in me. He understands that joy can be found even in what seems like dark times. Hebrews 12:2-3. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross for you, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so you will not grow weary and lose heart. On the final slide, I'm highlighting three things to encourage you to be people of joy. Beacons, if you like, lighthouses, shining like the lights on the Christmas tree into a dark world, one that has lost its way. Three things. The first, focus on Jesus. Hebrews 12:2. Fix your eyes on Jesus, not the other stuff. I love getting a present. We're talking on the way here, and she said, "I don't know what to get you." I said, "Ring up Triumph in Romford and get me some vouchers. I can't pick my own. I don't need anything. I've got family. I've got church. I've got God. I just feel grateful for life and what it gives us." Focus on Jesus, not the periphery. Not the periphery. Focusing on Jesus means you not only remember the Saviour in the manger, but you remember the Saviour in your heart. Remember that this baby grew up and went to the cross. He was born to die. That's not, I don't hear that often at Christian, you know, that's quite a thing, isn't it? He was born, which is lovely, but to die, which was horrible. But he rose again, as that song we sung says. Remember, he grew up and went to the cross to pay for my wrongdoing and for yours. That he rose again to give you a new life, and that he lives in your heart today to give you joy. Didn't we sing it? Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken. I look at myself and think, how can I be saved? I look at the cross and think, how can I not be? Because Jesus has done it. The cross has spoken. I'm forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. But then came the morning that sealed the promise. We're jumping to Easter. It's not even a Christmas day yet. This is Easter. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Can you imagine that time? Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. He's broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. The baby was born and he died for me, but he rose again. That's a reason for joy. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Yes! I mean, that's incredible. I've been crucified with Christ. He's done it for me. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. This is a reason for great joy. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Not only was Jesus born in Bethlehem, but by faith and by his Spirit, he lives in you. In you. That should fill you with joy. The second thing to be joyful, you focus on Christ, focus on others. Acts 20:35. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than receive. And no more than at Christmas, to give, to be generous. There's joy found in generosity. Christmas is a reminder that God gave us Jesus, which in effect was everything. Born out of his love, because God so loved the world, he gave his Son. His focus is giving. Christ to the world was his love for others. He gives us an example that we too should be willing to follow, to give. Joy doesn't come from getting all we can from others, but in giving all we can to others. There's loads of ways you can do that. I wish we didn't have the problem, but it's been wonderful to not only see churches, but churches are a big part of it. Actually being able to live out the words of Jesus while supporting food banks and clothes banks, and wish we didn't have to, but there's a chance there to feed the hungry, to clothe the poor, living out the mission of Jesus. And then finally, the third one, which you don't often hear in church, focus on yourself. So focus on God, focus on others, and focus on yourself. You don't often hear it, but we all need to guard our hearts, our own attitudes. You've got to determine whether or not you'll experience joy this year. It is a choice. You can let worry and all the stresses and discouragements rob you of all the joy of Jesus. Everyone struggles sometimes. Of course they do, and you might be in a really low place right now, but please understand God stands with you in that. And in my experience, I feel his presence even more in those dark times. But the attitude of joy is not automatic. We have to cultivate it. We have to declare it. We have to live it. Philippians 4:4-7, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, another Advent candle, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, I have to make a decision, and so do you, to live that out, to actually say, rejoice in the Lord always. The circumstances may be poor, but there's always something to rejoice in the Lord for. Fact is, you can be full of faith or full of doubt, full of the Spirit's joy or full of the world's woes. But consider your thoughts. Think about how you speak. Listen to your words. Watch your actions. And ask yourself, do I have the joy of the Lord? Am I letting myself get dragged into the world's message that joy is dependent on happiness or circumstances? Christmas is a time where we exchange gifts. The gift of God to man is the indescribable gift of his Son. He gave us his Son. And our gift back to God is when we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We have to go back and say, thank you. And I'm going to live my life out according to your word. And you're the only person who can decide to do that this year. So I've had emails in my ministry. I had one. And someone is not in this church, in Billericay, accused me of being too bullish. Like this email comes through, you're too bullish, you're too upbeat. And you know, I said to them, you know, sometimes I don't feel like that. I go and I try and be positive, but sometimes I feel beaten up as well. But I said to them, I try and seek the good and what can be done, the positive. I don't always do that. Andrew will tell you, I can have my moments. And actually recently, in recent years, I've had to ask God again for more of his Spirit, because it's relying on that fruit of the Spirit, as John said earlier, joy. It's not relying on myself. I need the Spirit of God in me. And then I need to let it out. And God has a gift for you this Christmas. It's the joy that you unwrap by focusing on Jesus. You focus on others and you focus on yourself. Don't wait until December 25th to unwrap the gift. This is the only time you hear your minister say, yeah, open your present early. Open it now and enjoy it. Sure, I like getting a present, but I really want the presence. That's not more presence, it's presence of Jesus in my life. That's the biggest thing. That's the biggest thing. So lighthouses or beacons, when they're shining out and they're shining and showing the way, they warn, they also do something else. They're also, if you're coming towards land, and we've got our eyes fixed on Jesus, the light of the world, they welcome you home. And they show you the way to go home. And Jesus shows us the way to go home. And we will be with him forever. And that's a reason for great joy. As we fix our eyes on Jesus, know his presence more than the present. You know, football's not coming home, is it? Let's face it. But we're on our way home, and we're going to meet with Jesus. In the meantime, keep your eyes fixed on him and know that joy. Because Jesus is the light of the world, but he says you're the light of the world too. So you go out, as I will, and let your light shine, be the blessing, and share the joy. Yes? Amen? Amen. Amen. Fantastic. I'm going to pray, and we're going to break bread together as brothers and sisters, which Christians have been doing for over 2,000 years, a sacred moment. And, you know, if you're not a follower, just let it pass you by, but do something about that. Do something about knowing the joy of Christ in your heart. Speak to someone on the leadership afterwards. But let it pass you by if not. If you're at home, I don't know if you've got your bread and wine ready. We've got ours ready, but if not, maybe do that later on, no problem. And I'm going to pray for us, and we'll prepare our hearts and our minds as we remember that we're beacons of joy in a dark world. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its richness. We thank you that it says so much about joy. And when we look at Advent, the other subjects as well, love, joy, peace. Lord, pray that you'll fill us with your Spirit afresh, and that we will be a light in a dark world. In a world that needs to hear your message, I pray, Lord, we'll be living witnesses for you, great ambassadors for you. As we break bread together now as a church family, I pray, Lord, that you'd nourish us physically and spiritually. We thank you for the bread and what it represents, your body given for us, and the wine which represents your blood, part of the new covenant now that we live in freedom, to honor you and to accept you and to serve you, to be free in you, because you are in us and we are in you. Amen.